am Anca Stachescu, and I'm interviewing Joseph O'Brien at 904 East Broadway, Stratford. Okay, Mr. O'Brien, could you please tell me a little bit about yourself? As in, were your parents residents of Bridgeport?
Yes, my mother and father were residents here. We came to Bridgeport from Rhode Island when I was only 5 years old. And I had three brothers and two sisters. They're all gone from this world now. I was the youngest.
Do you know why they moved over here? Did it have any to do with jobs?
Yes, my father worked for the railroad in Rhode Island, and they sent him here to be a foreman on the railroad. That was the reason they came here.
So yeah. The whole family moved here?
Yes.
Did you find a big change in moving here? Did you?
Well, I was so young at the time, it really didn't bother too much, because at 5 years old, I was going to kindergarten in Rhode Island, and then I started kindergarten here, and then first grade, and so on.
I see. But you couldn't tell any differences of there and here?
Well, I came from a very small town in East Greenwich, Rhode Island, into a city. Bridgeport's much larger than the town I came from. I lived outside of Providence. Providence is a big city. But there was a difference in living in a city. There were stores on every corner, where in my little town there was one little village store, I remember that, and one small school.
Did you find it confusing, or did you enjoy it and just...
No, well, being at 5 years old, I don't think things like that bother you too much. It didn't bother me. I went along with it and got used to it.
You mentioned that you were quite a few kids in the family. Could you describe the family life, as in the roles of wife, husband, children, the household chores?
Well, my father worked, naturally. I had one brother at the time who was married, didn't live with us. I had another brother who was in the Navy. I had a brother older than me, 4 years older than me, and of course we both went to school, and my sister older than him, she was going to school here. My older sister had finished school in Rhode Island, and she was just starting to work. I think she was only about 16 in those days, I think.
What level did she complete?
Just grammar school, I imagine, yeah. But here she studied, she went to business college after she went to work, and she became a stenographer, you know.
What was school like back then? What were the expectations of parents in the first place of their children? How many years did they expect to complete, or what grades did they expect? What were their expectations?
Well, it was up to us to go as far as we could, I suppose. The only thing was, my father died very young. We were only here 2 years when he got killed on the railroad, so that made a difference in our life. We couldn't go through like some kids would go to high school, college, and all that. We had no chance of doing that. I did go to business college when I graduated from school, and my brother became a butcher, the one older than me, so he made a living. The other one went in the Navy, he'd done all right, and the other one was married and he was on his own. My youngest sister finished school, grammar school, but she had to go to work to help run the house, and she went to work in a silver factory. She worked there, I'd say about maybe 20 years. She married, naturally married, and went on her own to live. My oldest sister didn't marry, and she stayed with us until she was, I think she was about 37, she died. She was anemic, and she had other problems, and she died. Of course, then it was just my brother, my mother, and I, who lived together the rest of our years until my mother passed away. And then my brother and I lived alone. And he passed away about 10 years ago. So now I'm alone.
Oh dear. When did you get your first job?
Well, after school I worked in butcher markets on the
Evelyn. How old were you then?
14. And there were butcher markets and grocery stores on every corner. There was no supermarkets in those days. So it was very easy for boys to get work delivering groceries to people, helping in the store. And I'd done that until I was about 15, I guess, or 16. Then I went to business school.
How were you paid?
Well, in those days, we didn't get much money, but in those days you didn't need a lot of money like today. If I remember, working in the store, I got $7 a week, which was considered good. And sometimes people gave us tips. If they gave you a nickel, a dime, you were rich, you know, in those days.
About what could you buy with that money?
With
about how much would it be worth these days?
Well, I don't know. In those days, you could buy a loaf of bread for 7 cents, 10 cents. Now you compare it with today, you know, inflation and all. And rents in those days, I think, was around 14, 15 a month for a five-room flat. Today, you know what they are today. The rents are way up.
Could you describe the school life?
Well, I went to McKinley School. That was about 5 blocks from my house. And I started out in first grade there. Of course, I didn't like it at first, you know. No, I guess no one does. But after I got up into maybe fifth and sixth grade, then I liked it. I more or less enjoyed school.
What courses were offered? Did you have any foreign languages or sports in school?
Oh, no, not in grammar school. They do in high schools, but I didn't go to high. I went to business.
Did you have to pay for the business school?
Oh, yes. I don't remember how much, but it couldn't have been a lot.
Were you able to support yourself from
No, when I went to business school, I was still home with my mother and my brother and my sisters. They were still single at that time.
What kinds of the kids attended school? Could anyone attend school?
Oh, yes. You had to be 5 years old. I think, 5 years old when we started.
Yeah. Were there different views of education for boys and girls?
Not really. Not in grammar school or high school. Of course, in high school, the girls would all take a commercial course, or most of them. Boys would take other courses. But there was discrimination in those days about girls when they went to work, you know. They could get office work or housework or become nurses, things like that. But they would not many girls would advance in those days like today. Women grew up into enormous jobs.
Was it because they didn't have the drive and they didn't
try
hard enough, or because the society just simply didn't allow them?
Well, I think that when they grew up, they didn't realize that how far women could go in this business world. Today, young girls going to high school know that if they study hard, they can go real high in this world today.
Do you see any improvement in school system today?
Yes, I think there's a big improvement in schools today. The teachers have learned more, I think, and they can teach children more and better than years ago. Of course, the basics always stay the same, you know. Reading, writing, arithmetic, all those things, I think, stay the same, as far as I know.
Were there a lot of people that didn't attend school that time?
Didn't attend?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. You had to attend school, I believe.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you had to attend school. Grammar school, anyway.
But you didn't have to attend high school?
No, no.
So now we keep students in school for a longer time because you have to have a high school.
That's right. Today, it's almost a must to go to high school if you expect to get anywhere in this world.
Then it was only grammar school that
you had. Unless, now some boys go right from grammar school maybe to trade school, things like that. I don't know if they need high school education. I think in the trade schools they teach them things that connected with their trades are going to learn, mathematics, maybe things like that, or advanced mathematics and so forth.
Do you remember any educational experiences that you'd like to share with me?
Experiences? How do you mean?
Maybe like the teachers being mean as corporal punishment.
Well, in those days, if they caught you talking, you know, and they came in one of the back doors, they'd take their fist and pound you on the back. I got that once, that's all. And I learned after that not to talk when the teacher...
The government allowed that, right?
Well, I suppose so. Yes.
Should be punished.
Well, you know, in a way, when I look back, when I hear what goes on in schools today, I think it done us good. Only one whack on the back with the teacher's fist, and you remembered that.
And you won't do it again.
That's right, sure.
So they were more organized there, you think? You think teachers should have more freedom in how they teach their students and what they want to do with their students?
Well,
keep them doing good in school.
Well, yeah, I would imagine it's up to a teacher to arrange the way she's going to teach her course to the best advantage of the pupils.
Do you think children's activities changed over time? As in, what did you do for fun in your childhood years?
Well, see, now me working in a store after school, I didn't have much time. But there were days we would play ball. And see, in those days, there was plenty of fields and lots where we lived. It wasn't built up like today.
So mostly we'd play. The activities were outside.
That's right, yeah. We didn't have any indoor places to go to. They did have a YMCA, but I think you had to be 14 or so to go there in those days. That may be changed now. But we had plenty of outdoor things to do in the summer. We had beaches, several beaches in Bridgeport and Stratford, Lordship and all to go to. And I always liked the beach. I liked summer, go swimming. I liked to swim.
Do you remember anything about teenage dating?
In those days, it wasn't the way it is today. The mothers were very careful, and the fathers too, were very careful of their daughters. They didn't date like in grammar school, like kids do today. And even in high school, a lot of parents would not let their daughters date, even in high school.
Did the boys have more freedom than the girls did?
I would think so, yes.
Do you think premarital sex is practiced more today than ever before?
Oh, yes, yeah.
And more babies are born.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. In those days, it was very rare to have anything like that happen.
Do you think abortion should be legalized?
Well, that's a matter of religious beliefs, I think. Now, I'm Catholic, so of course we're taught that abortion is wrong.
Brings me to another question. What role did religion play in your family?
Well, our family was quite religious. My mother and father were religious, my sisters. My brothers, except one, the one that went in the Navy, he wasn't very religious at all. In fact, after years in the Navy, he didn't believe in any religion whatsoever. But it was a very strange thing, because he died when he was in his 60s. He had retired from the Navy, and he was married and had children. And he died in a naval hospital. Now, my sister was with his wife when he died, and his two little boys were there. One was 12 and one was 14, I think. My sister told me that he told the boys before he died, "One thing I want you to remember, never let anyone tell you there is no God." So you see, after all those years of no religion, at least in the end, he did believe.
Did the church help people in any way? Did they have special programs or things?
Well, when my father died, they did help us somewhat. I know We got food from them, and they got my mother a job. My mother was young enough to work, you know. They got my mother a job in St. Vincent's Hospital, not full time. She couldn't with us two small boys at home.
How old were you then?
I was 7. My brother was 9 or 10, I think. Yeah. But she worked until my younger sister got working and making enough money between my two sisters. Then, of course, my mother didn't work anymore. Women, married women in those days didn't work. Very few of them worked. Yeah, yeah.
Do you think the use of drugs by the youth is today's society a serious social problem that it wasn't present years ago?
Oh, very much so, yes. We never heard of things like that. For a boy to get caught smoking behind the barn, he'd get beat by his father. You know, I didn't get into smoking, up until maybe I was about 18 or 19. And then I didn't smoke very long when I gave it up. And I haven't smoked since. My brother older than me smoked. My oldest brother smoked, the one in the Navy, of course, smoked. One of my sisters smoked, the younger one, but she was married and had children then. She smoked. The other one wouldn't smoke, the older one.
Why do you think we have this problem today? Do you think it has anything to do with the television?
I think it has a lot to do with television, the news media, TV. Of course, they say the public wants to know, they have a right to know what's going on. But I think the news media will tell stories like vandalism. I think that was spread by newspapers. They publicize how much vandalism happens. And the young kids today think that that's the thing to do, you know, if you don't get caught. And I can't see that at all.
It just brings it to their knowledge, and some people are curious, they might want to try it.
That's what I think, yes. Yeah. And the same way with teenage girls today getting in trouble and all that, they hear so much of it on TV and all those. Yeah, that they figure, well, that's a way of life.
When did you get your first TV set?
Oh, well, let me think. Well, it's so long ago, I've forgotten. We weren't one of the first ones to get, I remember that. But it's a good many years ago.
They weren't affordable then, were they?
No, they weren't. They were quite expensive in those days. And they weren't up to date like they are today. They were squeaky old things in those days. They've improved a lot. But like everything else has improved.
And black and white.
Yeah, yeah.
When did you get your first car, maybe the family, I should say?
The first car?
Yeah.
Well, let me think. Well, my married brothers, they had cars. I didn't get my first car until I was maybe about 20, 21. It wasn't new. It was an old junk. And
it moved.
It moved, yeah. That's all we cared about in those days. And
what kind of car was it, do you remember?
It was a Ford Model T. But it took us places where we wanted to go. And that's all we cared about.
Cars weren't affordable.
Oh, no.
Either. They were like a luxury.
Yeah, well, I was working then when I was 20, and naturally I saved my money and bought it. And I forget what I paid for it. It wasn't much, maybe $30, $40. So, yeah.
Oh, dear. You couldn't.
No, you couldn't go near anything. You couldn't even buy a used bike for that today, I don't think.
Were there any other things that you didn't have back then? As in, some people told me they didn't have refrigerators.
No, we didn't. We had what they called an ice box. The man would come with ice so many times a week. You'd put a card in the window when you need it and how many pounds. And he had tongs and come with a big cake of ice. And my mother would lift up the cover and he put that ice in. And then my mother put newspaper over it, I guess, to keep from melting or something, close it. And that would last, I don't know how long, because I didn't keep track of those things. But that's how we kept things refrigerated in those days.
Things in the ice.
That's it, yeah. But, of course, people didn't buy a lot like they do today and put in their freezers, which is a lot more convenient. They'd buy enough to maybe last a couple of days. But, like I said, there was a butcher market on every corner, so you didn't have to do that.
There were a lot of stores, little stores.
Oh, yeah.
Were there any major markets and supermarkets?
Not in the east end of Bridgeport where I came from. There was a what they call the public market in Bridgeport. I think it was at the corner of State and Water Street. Of course, who could buy there because we didn't have cars in those days. But some people had horse and wagons, you know, in those days, and they would go down there. But we bought in
a... Did you have a horse and wagon?
No, we never had that, no. No. My landlord in those days had a horse and wagon. And in fact, our landlord was a butcher, and he had three girls and a boy, and they lived downstairs under us. They owned the house. And in the summer, he used to take us to what is called Short Beach today, but in a horse and wagon. And that was a rare treat. We'd go down there and we'd stay a whole day. He would bring us there. He had to come back to his butcher market. And he'd leave us there for the whole day and then the evening come and pick us up. And when we went there was only four cottages on that whole beach in those days. Yeah.
You had the whole beach to yourself.
Right, yeah.
Were there a lot of people then?
No, because see, unless you had a horse and wagon, how would you get there? There weren't many people living in Lordship in those days either. And the ones that maybe lived there would go down to Lordship Beach on the other side. Yeah. Of course, there was no airport. The airplanes weren't around in those days.
Wow. Were you involved in any activities during like your teenage years? As in groups and...
No, not really.
Clubs.
The only thing, I did join the YM when I was about, I would say I must have been 16 or so, 17. I used to like to go to swim there. And I was in a gym class, little things like that, paddle ball and all that.
That must have been fun.
Oh yeah, I liked that.
Did you go to Seaside Park later on?
Oh yeah, as I grew up, everybody went to Seaside. That was a place to go. That was nice. Especially when I got a car, I could go there.
What was there to do?
Seaside? Well, the family would go there on a picnic on a Sunday, and that was a big treat to go down there and sit under the shady trees with a breeze, and they'd pack a picnic lunch and always spend the whole afternoon or day there.
Fresh air.
Yeah. I was small then, so we weren't allowed to go to the beach. We didn't go way down where the public beach was. We went up this end where it's all picnic groves, more or less.
Is there anything you could tell me about Bursley Park?
Bursley Park, that was a treat to get up there. See, that was out of the way. Unless you had a car, it was hard to get there. There were trolleys running in those days, though, and I think we went a few times with trolleys. They didn't have a zoo like they had today. They did have the flower, play the flourish place and all that. But it was, there wasn't much change. And I don't remember tennis courts. They did play golf in those days. It was a small golf course, yeah.
Do you remember Pleasure Beach?
Yes, Pleasure Beach was quite a place. See, from where we lived in the East End, we could walk to Pleasure Beach, and we went there very often. It was good for swimming. They had a very nice beach. They had a very nice pool. Of course, they had all kinds of rides and roller skating, and they had everything there. It was really a nice place to go.
Not there anymore.
No, it's a shame.
How about Sherwood Island?
No, that was too far away for us. That was down, isn't that down Westport Way, somewhere down there? Yeah, that was, no, we didn't. I have been there since I grew up, you know, but never went there, much to speak of.
What about theaters, like Majestic, Lowe's Poly?
Oh yeah, those were popular in those days.
Mm-hmm.
There was, on Fairfield Avenue near Water Street, there was a Plaza Theater. Then there was Whole Eyes, Lyric. There was on Stratford Avenue, there's Hippodrome, Park City, and there was one on Newfield Avenue, but I don't remember it, but everyone told me there was one on Newfield Avenue. East Main had three or four of them. I heard them, but we never went there.
Beverly's still there.
Oh, that's on Fairfield Avenue. Oh yeah, that was there. I forget the name of it in those days. In fact, over the Beverly, they had a dance hall, Quilty's Dance Hall, and that's where we went to learn to dance. Yeah.
How about Ritz Ballroom?
Oh, that was very popular. You graduate from Quilty's to the Ritz, so the Ritz was the place to go. It was real nice.
How about Polka Dot Playhouse?
No, in those days, when I was growing up, they didn't have that. It started later.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
How about bowling? Did you?
Oh yeah, they had bowling alleys on Union Avenue, which wasn't far away. Yeah. But I didn't go there until I was about 18 or so. Yeah. I think in those days you couldn't go in unless you're 18. I don't remember. I think they had rules about that.
How did your neighborhood change while growing up? Did it change much?
No. Our neighborhood didn't change at all in the East End until good many years later. And in fact, the East End didn't change an awful lot. I would say until the war years, they built little more factories around, things like that. But no, the East End didn't change a lot in those days.
So was your block different from the other blocks in any way?
Where I lived?
Yeah.
Well, originally I lived on Connecticut Avenue. And our rent up went so high there that we had to move, and we moved to Stratford Avenue, which was a block away. And when that rent went up, we moved to Miles Street. And we stayed there a good many years. And let me see where else. Oh, then we moved to Waterman Street. We were like gypsies. We moved around a lot. But I ended up living on Stratford Avenue. We lived there for 26 years. It was an apartment building. There was 24 families lived there before I came to Stratford.
Do you think there was racism going on then?
Oh, no. Our neighborhood was, well, what you would call mixed. There was one street a block from us, Freeman Street. It was mostly colored. They're all nice, fine people, went to McKinley School. I remember one of them became head of the zoning board in Bridgeport. What was his name? I can't think of it now. His wife was a nurse. Most of them on that street turned out very well. Yeah.
Do you feel all people are equal regardless of race?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't believe in that segregation.
Do you think now there are problems with race mixing?
Well, I don't know. The neighborhood I left on Stratford Avenue, we had different, we had colored, we had Spanish, we had no problem with them. I understand now that down in that area they do have a little, I don't know, it's a matter of who they are. If you discriminate against Spanish or colored, naturally I think you'll have problems with them. But if you don't discriminate, I don't see any problem.
In your opinion, do you think blacks are taking away jobs from whites?
No, I don't think so. I think black people have more of a chance today than they did years ago. I think in those days they weren't given opportunities that they are today. They were given more menial jobs, where today you go in, where I worked at the American chain, there are black people have very good jobs, excellent jobs there today, which they didn't when I was growing up.
Could you tell me about the place where you worked?
American chain?
Yeah.
I worked there 26 years. I worked on inspection. I was an inspector, group leader. I liked it very much. It was a very interesting job.
What were your duties?
Well, do you know what a Rockwell hardness testing machine is?
No.
Well, it's a machine that tests the hardness of steel. And that's what, that was one division that I worked in. They made those in that division. Well, when those machines were completed, they would come to our section, and there was three people worked on them, and we would have to take them apart, mic the parts. You know what a micrometer is. We'd mic the parts, make sure all measurements were proper. Everything had to be proper. And they test with a diamond braille. They test that sinks into the steel to measure the depth and hardness of it. And usually it would take about, normally maybe a half a day to complete one, make sure it was ready to be shipped. And my job was to see not only mine, but the other two people worked with me to make sure theirs were accurate. They would call me when they said theirs were accurate, and I would test them to make sure they were accurate. And then they would go into another final inspection, whether it was a young lady, and she would check me to see that they were accurate. And if they weren't, we would get them back, whether it was mine or the man next to me. And it was very interesting work. But at times you would get a machine you just could not make it read, and then you had problems. And
do you think now they have better tools and it's a little bit easier?
Not that job, because the people who still work there, I've been out of there 9 years, and I still know those people that are still there. Incidentally, on that job there was, I'm Irish, there was a Scotch fellow from Scotland, and there was a Jamaican. Now today there's one Spanish fella on that job, and they can't get anyone else to work on it. They just don't like it. They won't work on it. And they'll hire anyone. You don't have to be in it. You don't have to have an education. Even they'll teach you from start if you want the job. But it's rather a difficult job, and unless you have a lot of patience, you just can't work on that type of job. As far as tools and improvements go, no, they still have the same modern tools they had when I was there.
Did you get along with your boss and with the people around?
Yes. I think I had six different bosses in the years I was there. You know, they passed away or left or something. But I got along very well with them.
There wasn't any business. Do you think blacks got low status pay at that time? Do you think?
Well, no, they couldn't, because we had a union. And when you bid on a job, there was a price on that job, and no matter who bid on it.
So they wouldn't work for less pay?
Oh, no.
Do you think they are working now for less pay than the rest?
Not in a union shop, because a union shop, all jobs are classified, and they have certain rates on them. And
so
whoever,
no matter who'd work.
That's right. Yeah, surely.
So people got along pretty well.
Oh, yes. Oh, well, once in a while you may run into a little problem, but it was more or less rare, I thought.
What do you remember of the Depression years? Did it affect your life in any way?
Oh, they affected everyone's life, oh, sure. Because I was working in those days. I was working in a silver shop. And sometimes we didn't work maybe one day a week. Of course, my brother was working then. He was a butcher. He lived at home. He was working. And my oldest sister was working in an office there at the time. The Depression didn't affect her, because they had to always have someone in the office to work.
Nobody but lost their job or anything?
Not in our family. But a lot of people did lose jobs in those days.
Were there family members forced to work at that time? They worked before?
I would imagine women went to work then if they could get work, because maybe the husband got laid off, and if there were jobs for the women, surely they went to work.
What was actually going on? What happened?
Well, I don't know what created the Depression. It happened, and I don't
what
know.
What was going on?
I can't remember that far back. My memory isn't that too good.
Were there food lines and food
shortages?
And
yeah, they had food lines in those days, surely. And bread lines all over.
Did they have rationing?
Yes, they had rationing, yes.
Were they like for everybody or only like some people?
No. We never got food stamps in our house. I think food stamps came later after the Depression anyway. I don't remember that much. But I know during the Depression it was awfully bad and an awful lot of people were out of work. And of course when people don't work it slows down everything because they have no money to spend and all the businesses slowed down because of that. When the war came, of course, that changed everything. That made work.
What happened then?
Well, and of course everyone got work when the war started, World War I. Oh yeah. And then a lot of women got work during those days.
Did a lot of immigrants come during that time looking for jobs?
Yes. Yeah.
Did anyone in your family go to war?
I went in the Army. My brother was in the Navy. My other brother didn't pass the physical. He was kind of sickly. But yeah, I was in the Army for, 4 years. I didn't see action. In fact, I took basic training down in Maryland, Aberdeen, Maryland. And from there, they sent me to California. But I had it real good. They sent me to a racetrack, the Santa Anita Racetrack, where they had a school. And they taught instrument repair at the school. And I went to school there. I learned all about instruments, repair, and so forth. But then they put me in an office there. I worked in an office. And one day I was interviewed by a colonel from Washington. And he asked me if I would like to be nearer home, Connecticut. I said, oh, sure. So he asked me a lot of questions about schooling and work and this and that. And I didn't think anything more of it. And 3 weeks later, I got papers to ship from there to Washington, D.C. And in Washington, D.C., I worked what they called OSS, that was Office of Strategic Services. It was a very secret organization during the war. And I worked there until the war ended. I worked in a school where they taught the agents that were going overseas.
Were you paid? You were paid.
Oh, yes, yes. I was a corporal. You got corporal's pay, yeah. But that, to me, that was really, it was terrific because there was nothing to worry about in Washington. And I used to get home about once a month for a weekend. And, you know, from Washington, Connecticut wasn't too far. Take a train.
How do you think the war affected Bridgeport economically as well as the other communities?
Well, it brought a lot of work to Bridgeport, and there was a lot of work in Bridgeport, more work, you know.
So it helped?
Oh yeah, it helped the city of Bridgeport. It brought a lot of people into Bridgeport from other states. A lot of people came up from Pennsylvania, and they stayed here. A lot of them stayed, most of them I think stayed. There's more work up here. And
Do you think the Depression had anything to do with the war?
I really don't know. A lot of people think that they got us into the war to get out of the Depression. I don't know about that. I was too young to even think about things like that, and I still don't know what happened.
Do you remember anything about the roaring 50s?
Roaring 50s, yeah,
yeah,
that's when when things started to change a lot. Everybody was getting, they were acting different. There was a lot of drinking started in those days. Even girls started drinking. Before, you know, girls seldom drank when I was growing up. You know, if a girl drank, a fellow wouldn't bother with her. But in the 50s, girls started to drink. Of course, I don't mean they got drunk or anything like that, but they would take a drink at parties and so forth. And of course, the old timers frowned on it. No man likes to see a girl drunk, and of course the girls dressed different in those days. They wore flapper outfits and they cut their hair. All girls had long hair before that, you know.
Yeah.
But then they went in for what they call bobbed hair, and Of course, the old fathers and mothers didn't like it at first, but then they got used to it. And well, today, you know, today some have short hair. Now they're going back to long hair today.
Everybody's different today.
Yeah.
How did the men dress at that time? Did they change it?
Not really. Men's clothing doesn't change that much. Of course, now men wear more flashy clothes than in those days, you know, sport clothes and all kinds of flashy colored shorts and shirts. In those days, they're more plain. Yeah.
That's interesting. Because women change all the time. Everything, all the styles, men stay the same.
Well, the reason the women's styles change is because the people that sell the clothing and shoes and everything else have to make money. If they had one style, the women would buy that and that would be it. But they change so often, the women just don't even wear their clothes out when the new style comes out and they have to buy it. Yeah. So that creates business for the clothing people and so forth.
Do you remember about Korea, about the world?
Well, yeah, I remember it, but of course it didn't affect us in any way, you know, so.
Or Vietnam.
Yeah, but none of my neighbors seem to go into that, you know, at least not the fellows my age, you know, the younger men went into that. Yeah.
How about the civil rights?
Well, civil rights, when that first started, there was, it was mixed feeling about it, I guess. A lot of people were afraid that if it went through that colored people would go wild and all that stuff, which didn't happen, you know. But after all, it wasn't right the way they held people down, especially, of course, down around here they didn't, but in the South, they say it was real bad, you know. Black people were given no advantages at all to learn or do anything, I guess, down there. That is in some parts of the South.
But here, everybody was given...
Colored people here, we didn't call them black in those days, we called them colored. But colored people here, we had colored doctors right on Stratford Avenue. We had three of them on Stratford Avenue, sure. And colored people in very good jobs and teaching school and all that. I had a colored teacher in McKinley School and in grammar school. And I didn't say anything like that. Of course, there were always people who felt that way. Maybe people who'd done hiring might not have hired them. I don't know.
Not all people were for the civil rights.
No, I don't think they were, no. No.
How about the hippies? What do you remember about them?
Well, that was, they were too young for me to even think about. I'd read about them, but that was about all, you know. Well, there were just
not too many going around.
No, that was a smaller phase that I think of anything, the yippies, yeah.
Is there anything else, any other experience you'd like to share with me? Anything else you'd like to tell me?
My memory isn't that good. All I can say is now that I have retired, I find life much better. I enjoyed my work. I enjoyed things when I worked. But now that I've retired, I've been a volunteer over here at the Senior Center for 4 years, going on 5 years. I work on the information desk, and I like it very much. I meet people my own age and older and younger, and it's a place where seniors go, they get out of the house, they don't have to sit home anymore and watch TV and that stuff. They go over there and they have all kinds of activities going on there.
And you share experiences with people.
Yeah, we dance. Of course, a lot of the women don't have partners, see, the men die younger. So they don't have enough partners for dancing, ballroom dancing, so they do what they call line dancing. Did you ever see that?
No.
Well, they line up across the ballroom. Men and women all mixed, doesn't matter. Line up along there and you have an instructor up on the stage and they teach the dances. Teach them very slowly, the instructor does it and he usually has a lady with him who will do it also. And then we'll practice a part of it and then he'll teach us a little more advanced into that and we practice that. And every song they play has different steps to it, which makes it much harder than ballroom dancing. When you learn ballroom dancing, you learn it and that's it. But line dancing, you have to learn new steps for every dance, and they tell me they have over 500 different dances. So of course, you can't remember all those, but you remember.
You have to learn it each time again and again.
You remember what you can, and it keeps your mind active. You have to concentrate, and it's fun, and you meet people because you're lined up with people, different people all the time, and naturally you make a mistake, and you laugh, and they laugh, and
you get talking, and
you meet people. Oh, I know so many people now. We have over 6,000 members, and then of course they have bingo every Monday afternoon. They pack the place for bingo. They like that. They play cards all day Wednesday. That's crowded.